This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now, in about 15 minutes, we're bringing you the opening numbers from the KLCI as well as market analysis with Han Tan of FXTM. But one name that we'll certainly be looking at once markets do open is AirAsia, because yesterday, shares of AirAsia Group and AirAsia X continued to slide following reports on alleged corruption and bribery in relation to the low-cost carrier's purchase of Airbus aircraft. Now, at previous market close, AirAsia Group fell 10% to close at 1.15 ringgit. And this was on the back of the stock closing at 1.28 ringgit the day before, also charting a fall of about 10% on that day.
Yeah, AirAsia X also fell about 4%. Basically the core group is the two listed entities. I won't be surprised if we continue to see much more volatility in terms of the share price as news flow continues to come out, because I'm sure this is not the end of the stories. So, speaking of AirAsia, so there was some reports on other news portals that the EPF, Employees Provident Fund, they disposed of nearly 8 million shares in AirAsia Group days before the bribery allegations involving Airbus. Bursa Malaysia filing said that 7.4 million normal shares were sold on January 28 and about 500,000 a day later. But I want to put this into context, because if I was a fund manager and there is this Wuhan virus thing going on, I would be a seller of my aviation stocks, right? Because yes. I would be concerned that, hey, what's the potential impact it's going to have on travel? And we know the first casualties of any outbreak is going to be travel, is going to be aviation. People are immediately going to cease travel plans. And even if they have already booked it, they might just cancel it. And, you know, over the whole month of January from Chinese New Year, we just got to see higher, you know, increasing numbers of deaths and also increasing number of infections. So I'm not really surprised that they did sell their, or the fund managers did sell their AirAsia stock. But to also put this into kind of context, they still hold about 6.3% of the budget carrier, right?
Yeah, which amounts to about 210.4 million shares. So if you do a few back of the envelope calculations, they sold about 3.7% of their holdings. Now, also in response to the scandal, AirAsia Group Executive Chairman Dato' Kamarudin Moranun and CEO Tan Sri Tony Fernandez have temporarily relinquished their executive positions amid the investigation, but they've been redesignated as non-independent, non-executive board members of AAGB. Now, they have categorically denied the allegations of wrongdoing or misconduct on their part as directors of the airline, but the decision to retain them on the board of directors has come under fire because there are concerns over the fact that they are, even though the allegations remain allegations for the time being, and they have denied any wrongdoing, there are concerns that their presence on the board could still prejudice any investigation that's going on. And this is something that was put forward by the Minority Shareholders Watch Group CEO Devonison Evanson, who said that Dato' Kamarudin and Tan Sri Tony should have followed the lead of retired banker Dato' Sri Nazir Razak, who took a voluntary leave of absence from his role at CIMB Group Holdings as the group chairman amid a scandal then about political funding and alleged misuse of money, and only returned to his role after the review had been completely concluded.
Yeah, because Devon Nansen told The Edge that that taking of such leave will help the directors better prepare their cases and at the same time enable a more robust investigation by a public listed company. And this is important. Without the perception of possible interference by their implicated directors, and if their expertise is required, they can always be advisors to the companies without assuming board positions. Now, currently, they are still board members, and the situation will create a general sense of unease and tenseness at the board level and possibly impede any candid spontaneous discussions. So it has to be like justice has to be done and also seen being done, right?
Yes. Because that's a significant portion of any kind of investigation. It's that the entire process must be spotless. And that includes being seen to be clean. So Devanisan also weighed in on the appointment of Bolingham in the interim. He thinks that a different executive should be appointed, considering that Bo and a few other Air Asia officials had been implicated in connection with a money laundering case in 2018 in India. And even though they've not been found guilty in that case, he emphasized that it's about erring on the side of caution and creating a more conducive atmosphere for the companies to conduct due investigations.
Yeah, but Devanisan also said allegations remain just that for now, allegations. And he said that they should allow for the investigations to be concluded. The allegations are serious ones and they already have had an impact on the share price negatively. Yes, which is true, because before this story broke, the share price was hovering around 140 and today is 115. So quite a sharp decline. And of course, minority shareholders will be feeling this pinch of value destruction.
Yeah, and we have also been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking the question of if a firm's employees are accused of bribery, who should take responsibility? Now, we've had 133 votes on this poll, and so far 51% have said the accused, 14% have said the CEO, 24% said the executive team, and 10.5% said the board of directors. Now, the reason why we're asking this is because of there is almost a convention, right? If there happens to be a lot of accusations or allegations of wrongdoing within a company, it's very often the CEO who steps aside, kind of almost shamefacedly, right? Because the allegations, whether or not they were confirmed, happened under their watch, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, but you're the man accountable, right? You're the face of the company. In many cases, you are the one that takes the fall. And you should, even if it's a conglomerate or even if it's a 100 billion Fortune 500 company, right? You should have kind of structures in place to prevent mm-hmm. this from happening. It's true, you can't have eyes everywhere. You can't monitor everything. But I think what's really important is that you have processes that prevent such things from happening. And that's where board supervision comes in, a compliance department comes in, and also a culture where people aren't fearful of whistleblowing on their own colleagues if there is something wrong.
Or even before we get to the point where someone feels the need to whistleblow, a company needs to have the environment where somewhere down the line, an employee who's essentially a cog in the machine, if they notice something wrong, they're not afraid to run this up the ladder, right?
Yeah, because, and that they won't have any consequences on their career. Because
exactly.
In the past, people pay the price. I mean, look at it. We have had so many incidences of whistleblowing in Malaysia where the person who is standing up is the one who ultimately pays the price, right? He's not rewarded for being brave, or she is not being rewarded for being brave. And then similarly, in a corporate structure, I can imagine there is this worry, if I speak out, what will happen to my career?
Absolutely, because the worry is if you stand out, you'll just get hammered back down. And we did get some comments on the poll. Dinesh Nair said, simplistic poll, and unfortunately, I think it is rather, but we were constrained by Twitter limitations. But he also asked the question of, does the firm have clear compliance or anti-corruption measures which are enforced, unless, of course, the employees are also the majority shareholders. So there are a lot of intersections of these roles that can cause complications for any kind of independent investigation to be carried out. So this is one of the difficulties that AirAsia is going to be facing. But one wonders whether or not Tan Sri Tony and Dato' Kamarudin, whether or not they'll take heed of the concerns raised by the Minority Shareholders Watch Group, and whether or not maybe AirAsia shareholders will also take up this call. Because as long as they do remain on the board, admittedly in non-independent, non-executive roles, and the allegations of wrongdoing are still allegations, I can't see there being very much like 100% confidence in the outcome of any investigation into the allegations that have been put forward.
Yeah, I think we will have to watch this space and see how things evolve. And if anything, this is a good precedent for corporate Malaysia, right? Because let's face it, such issues, this is not going to be the first and the last, right? And if anything, in this culture of transparency, maybe we might see more, which is good because then people aren't afraid to speak up if there are things that are wrong. So I think the culture of transparency has to start at the bosses and it has to kind of flow right through down to every single employee, and that it is something that the company practices.
And we'll also be taking a very close look at AirAsia Group and AirAsia X once the KLCI opens in just a few minutes. So we'll be taking a look at their share prices as well. But that will be happening after the 9 o'clock news, as well as market analysis with Han Tan of FXTM. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.